So the Mishnah had disqualified Shemen Sreifa, which is Shemen Shel Truma that contracted Tumah and has to be burnt. And the Gemara asks, my Shemen Sreifa, what is this Shemen that must be burned that's disqualified for Ner Shabbos? Amar Rabba, Shemen Shel Truma Shen Nitma'a. So if Shemen, right, there are two fruits that that are chayev in Truma Midoraisa, as well as the liquids that come out of that, and that's Zaysim Vadnovim. So in the case of Zaysim, after you crush the olives that were Truma and you extract the oil, that oil has a din of Truma, but now it contracted Tuma, and we said that Tuma with regard to Truma applies even in a Shlishi. You know, there's certain Chumras of Truma. Anyway, so the law is that this Truma, once it contracts Tuma, has to be burnt. Now, while he's burning, is he allowed to benefit from the light of the Truma that's going up in smoke? Let's assume that he's allowed to. If it's Mutabar Noah, so then Lechora he could use it for his Ner Shabbos. So the question is, why is this Shemen disqualified from oil for Ner Shabbos? Because we've already established that oil from Zaysim, from olives, is actually an excellent oil. Might even be our first choice. So what would be wrong with using Shemen Sreifa, assuming you're allowed to benefit from the Shemen Sreifa? So the Gemara asks, B'Shabbos my time alone, why do we disqualify it for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? In other words, the assumption here is that although Truma Tmeya has to be burnt, but you're allowed to derive benefit from it while you're burning. And therefore, you could use it for to illuminate your house for Shabbos. Now, the Gemara is going to come up with the old problem of Shema Yates HaNer, which means he might be tempted to tip over the receptacle so that the oil feeds the flame, flees a whip, but Lechora, why would he do such a thing? If you have an inferior quality oil or an inferior quality wick, then he might see it flickering, etc., and he might be tempted to do Atoya, but in this case it's a perfectly good oil. So the Gemara comes up with what I consider a very strange answer, very paradoxical. Mitosha mitzvah olav levaro, insofar as he's fulfilling the mitzvah of burning, gzeres shemiyata. He might be so excited, so passionately dedicated to this mitzvah of burning the oil, that he might forget himself and tilt the receptacle in such a way that he violates the Isur of Havar of Hatoya Saner.
Right.
Very strange, you know, that Dafka, because of the mitzvah, and for no other reason, he's going to get so hyped up about urgently speeding up the process that he'll end up tilting the kli, you know, the nair, the receptacle. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says, just give me a second. Yeah. So Abaye says, Elameyata biyontif lishtere. If the whole reason that it's prohibited is because you're afraid he'll do Hatoya, so Hatoya is an Isa Avara, which is one of the 39 Malachas of Shabbos, but it's not a prohibition on Yontif. Havara is Mutar on Yontif, and it comes under what's called Meleches Ochel Nefesh. And even if, let's say, he's not cooking But nevertheless, whatever benefit you get, that's called mitoch, right? Mitoch shehutra havar litzorach, hutra nami shelo litzorach. And it's as long as you're getting some benefit from it, which in this case you can get benefit from the light or the warmth, then it should be mutter. Alom etnan. Why do we have a Mishnah? And this Mishnah is later on Daf Chav Tal. The Mishnah says, Ein madlike b'shemen sreifa b'yontif, that we're not allowed to use shemen sreifa on yontif. So Gemara answers, Gzeira yontif atu Shabbos. Once you allow him to use this ner, which is shemen sreifa on Shabbos, on Yontif he'll come to use it on Shabbos. Again, we have a new gzera here, that if we allow to use the shemen sreifa on Yontif, you might come to use it on Shabbos. Now this Gemara here raises the classical question, the classic question of what's called a gzera l'gzera. Why? Because even on Shabbos, the disqualification is a gzera. We're afraid that if you use Shemen Sreifa, you get so involved in the mitzvah of burning Shemen Tmeya that you might come to do Atoya. And now we're saying that Yontif is not a problem of Atoya, but if we allow you to use this candle on Yontif, you'll come to use it on Shabbos, when on Shabbos itself, it is only a gzera otu Hatoya. So this is the subject of Tosis Dibra Maschil Gzera. And I think the way I understand the answer of Tosis is that the Rabbanon excluded this oil on Shabbos and they disqualified it. Once they disqualified it, then we don't want to encourage or recommend a situation in which you might come to use that shemen, what we call shemen sreifa on Shabbos. In other words, it's not that every time you use this shemen sreifa on Shabbos, we're going to call it a gzeira. I'm going to say, well, you might come to use it as hatoya. You'll come to do hatoya, but rather, what we're going to say is that because of the Gzeirah Fatoya, the Rabbanon declared that this Shemen is disqualified for use on Shabbos. Once they disqualified it for use on Shabbos, then they disqualified it for use on Yontif as well. So it's not that every time I'm afraid that maybe they use it on Shabbos, I have to say, well, there's a Gzeirah, you might come to do Atoya. Oh, I think I got it now. The case before, in the earliest sugya on Daf Chaf Aleph, this was before the Gemara went on a long digression about Ner Chanukah. There was a question of something called Chelev Mehutach. So Chelev itself is not a very good substance to use for fuel, for oil for a Shabbos candle, but the Gemara assumes that if you process chelev mehutach by cooking it, it becomes a little bit more of a solid substance, and it could be good. It could be that it would feed the flame without any problem. Excuse me. So the Gemara suggested that maybe we should disqualify chelev mehutach as a gzera, because he might come to use chelev raw, you know, not in its natural state, without cooking it. So then the Gemara says, well, what about adding kosher oil into chelev mehutach and making a mixture, a concoction out of it? And the Gemara says that's okay. That if you have regular natural chelev, you can't add kosher chelev. I'm sorry, kosher shemen, kosher oil. But if you have chelev mehutach, the Gemara says, then we allow you to mix oil, kosher, first-class kosher oil, and use this concoction for an Er Shabbos. So Gemara says, why? Aren't you afraid that if you allow him to use chelev mehutach with shemen kosher in that mixture, then tomorrow, meaning next Shabbos, he'll use chaylev mehutach without a mixture of, he'll forget to add the oil. So the Gemara says that's called a gzeira l'gzeira, because even in the worst case scenario, if he uses this chaylev mehutach without the extra shemen kosher, without the mixture, then technically, according to the strict letter of the law, fundamentally, it is kosher. The only thing is that itself is a gzeira, because he might come to use chaylev she'ena mehutach, and that's called a gzeira l'gzeira. So Tosis says that the reason why the Gemara says that's gzeira l'gzeira is because chaylev mehutach essentially is kosher for Ner Shabbos. It's only a separate gzeira. And now when you add the oil, then you can introduce another gzeira that maybe he'll do it without using the oil. So that's called gzeira l'gzeira. But in the case of shemen truma, which means truma shenitma, which is called shemen sreifa, there the chachamim disqualified that shemen for use on Shabbos, and then they expanded it to include yontif as well. So yontif and Shabbos are like, Tosis used the word kula kechada hadadi ninu. It's all one disqualification. Then Tosis asks another kasha. And he says our Mishnah at the beginning of Bamei Madlikin has a long list of disqualified oils and wicks. And the Mishnah is going to tell us later on in Daf Chav Daled that those disqualified oils and wicks are only disqualified for use on Shabbos, where there's a gzera of Hatoya. But those same wicks and oils are permitted for use on Yontif. So Tosis asks, why don't we say this principle of Bahari Adadi Ninu, meaning that once we disqualified X as an oil for Shabbos candles, then we disqualified it for Yontif as well? Why is it that with regard to this long list of disqualified oils on Shabbos, we're going to recognize their qualify them for use on Yontif? Why don't we apply the same logic that we're applying here, that it's all part of one enactment of the Chachamim that includes both Shabbos and Yontif together? So Tosis says that it's Yadua Lakol. I don't know, he assumes a psychological premise here, that everybody knows that if you have an oil that's of inferior quality, we have to exclude it on Shabbos, and therefore we're not afraid that if we allow use of that second-rate oil, that inferior oil, he might come to use it on Shabbos as well. It became a very well-known halacha that these oils did not draw the fire well, the flame well, and therefore you cannot use them on Shabbos. Everybody knew that these oils were pasul on Shabbos. But in the case of shemen sreifa, which is a perfectly reliable oil, you know, in the physics of oil, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a halachic consideration about the mitzvah of sreifa. Here's where there'd be confusion, and we're going to apply the principle of kula kechada hadodi ninu, and we're going to disqualify yontif atu Shabbos, and it's going to be one enactment. All right, let's talk about Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda Omar l'shema yate lo chai shinon. He wants to again go back to the basics and again address the original question: why is it that the Mishnah should disqualify the use of shemen sreifa? And we said that he's going to get so involved and so excited and enthused about the mitzvah of shemen sreifa that he might come to do atoya. And that was the explanation of Rabba. But Rav Chisda disagrees with Rabba, and he says, as the Israelis say, mafitom, why should we be afraid that he'll be so excited about burning the oil that he'll do atoya? Ella, but rather he wants to reinterpret our Mishnah. And what is the case of our Mishnah? Elohocha biyantiv shechalios bi erev Shabbos haskinan. We're talking about a case in which the yantiv overlaps on Friday, and now he's going to burn this shemen treifa on Friday for the sake of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and that we're not allowed to do. We're not allowed to burn shemen treifa on yantiv, and that Rav Chizkiya is part of a more global Iser on Yontif. L'fish ain't sar from Kodeshim b'Yontif. If you have any Kodesh that became disqualified, and there's a mitzvah in Psui HaMikdashim, disqualified Kodeshim, that we have to burn them, we're not allowed to burn them on Yontif. And the Gemara is going to derive this from a special Yalfusa, a special Gzeres HaKosev. And now Rav Chizda is expanding that Iser way beyond the confines of Kodeshim, and he's going to apply it even to what? Even to Shemen Sreifa. Excuse me. So now the Gemara raises the following objection to Rav Chizda. V'amidik Tani Sreifa, in the latter part of the Mishnah, it says, on Daf Chav Dalet Amid Beis, Ein Madlikim B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yontif. Now, we, according to Rav Chizda, interpreted the Reisha of the Mishnah as referring to a case of Yontif. Whereas the simple pshat of the Mishnah is that the Reisha is talking about a case of Shabbos, and the Seifa is talking about a case of Yontif. If you're interpreting already the Reisha as a case of Yontif, because Yontif fell out on a Friday, then obviously, when it says in the Sefer Ein Madlikim B'Shem and Sreifa B'Yontif, it implies that in the Reisha we're not talking about Yontif. Michlal the Reisha La B'Yontif Haskinon. It doesn't make sense that the Mishnah would repeat itself. Amar Rav Chanina Misura, he says Ma Tam Ka Omar. This is not the normal methodology of a Mishnah, where the Reisha is talking about one case and the Sefer is talking about another case, but rather a case where the Sefer is there to interpret and shed a light on the Reisha. Matam, why does it say, Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yontif? And the answer is, Lefisha Ein Sarfin Kodshin B'Yontif. And the Mishnah is actually supplying us with a reasoning that underlies this halacha that disqualifies Shemen Sreifa on Yontif, for any sort of hadlaka, even for the sake of Ner Shabbos, whatever the case may be. And the reason is because it's an application of a general rule, a specific application of the rule of Ein Sarfin Kodshim B'Yontif. Now we turn to Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, Tanya Kavose de Rav Chizda. We have a brisa that supports Rav Chizda. And the Brisa says, "Kol elu shomrein madlikim b'Shabbos, madlikim b'Yontif, chutz mishem and sreifu l'fish ain tzarfen kodshim b'Yontif." It's about as clear as you can get that the reason why, although all the other disqualified oils are fine for Yontif, we're not worried about Atoya, but when it comes to shem and sreifa, we have a different problem. That's not the problem of Atoya, but it's part of it's a specific application of the general rule of Ein Sarfin Kodshim B'Yontif. Now we go back to the sugya of Chanukah. We took a little digression. Ibaylehu ma'ala hazkir shel Chanukah bebirkas hamazon. We have ala nisim, which we add to tefillah, and the Gemara doesn't know whether we should add it to Birkas HaMazon. Now, before we see the Gemara's explanation, let's just offer our own explanation. The reason why Birkas HaMazon might be different is because there's no mitzvah of Suda on Chanukah. And the Gemara doesn't have any doubt about Purim. On Purim, which is also Durabbanon, yet we certainly recite Al HaNisim in benching on Purim. But that's because the Suda itself on Purim is a Sudas Purim. But in the case of Chanukah, it's not a Sudas Chanukah. There's no such thing as a Sudas Chanukah. But the Gemara gives a slightly different explanation. The Gemara says, "Came in the Birabonin who lo madkarinon." Since the entire enterprise of Chanukah is only the Rabbanon, therefore we don't mention Al HaNisim. Now, Why is it, therefore, that we mention Al Anisim in Tefillah? Take a look at Tosfos Dibur Maskil Mahu. Tosfos says, B'Tefillah Pshita Lei D'Maskil, Mishum D'Tefillah B'Tzibur Huvika Persumei Nisa, Birkas Amos D'Vayis Leka Persumei Nisa Kulihai. So when it comes to Tefillah, there's a kiyum of davening B'Tzibur. Not these days, but in those days. And that engenders a kiyum of Pirsumat Nes. There's a public nature to the Tefillah. So when we recite Al Anisim, we gain the kiyum of Pirsumat Nes. But in the case of Birkas HaMazon, which is a Chovas Yachid, Tosfos says you recite it in your house, in the privacy of your home, then there's no element of Pirsumat Nes at all. Again, he doesn't answer the question about Purim. I mean, Birkas HaMazon and Purim is also private, and yet we say Al Anisim. But as we said before, there's a Chovas Suda. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Schor, Omar Rav Huna, Eino Mazkir. He's not obligated to mention Al Anisim and Birkas HaMazon on Chanukah. He im Bala Haskir, but if he, on his own initiative, he chooses to add Al Anisim, usually when there's no Chiyuv, and you change the matbea of Birkas HaMazon, it undermines the kiyum of Birkas HaMazon. But here, Mazkir Boda, he's permitted to add Al Anisim in the second bracha, which is called No Dilcha, otherwise known as Birkas Hoda, and we could add a Hoda to No Dilcha. So that's an option, but it is not obligatory. We'll soon see that the Gemara is not happy about adding it to Hodah. The Gemara thinks that it should be added to the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. Let's see. Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikla lebei Rava. Rav Huna was a guest at Rava's house. Sovelad kurei bebonei Yerushalayim. So Rav Huna thought that the most appropriate place to add Al Anisim would be in Bonei Yerushalayim. Now let's try to analyze why that's so. Tosfos quotes the case of Rosh Chodesh. Do you see that? Tosfos Dibur Maskil B'Bonei Yerushalayim. He says, "Kmo Rosh Chodesh, Ha'omer Yalav Yovo B'Bonei Yerushalayim." Now, you might ask, why? You're begging the question. So why is it that Yalav Yovo is integrated into Bonei Yerushalayim? Mishum the Yalav Yovo Itfila V'Tachnunim. Is Tiknua B'Bonei Yerushalayim. In other words, of all the brachas of Birkas HaMazon, if you had to single out one, which is a tefillah, then it would be Bonei Yerushalayim. We ask Hashem to rebuild Jerusalem. And therefore, the bracha of Yalav Yovo, which is all a bakasha and a tefillah, is appropriate for Bonei Yerushalayim. Okay, fine. Then he says, and a parallel example of an addition of Yalav Yovo is Tefillah, and where do we put Yalav Yovo? In the Avoda, which is also a Tefillah. And Al Anisim, we're asking Hashem to bring about miracles like He did in those days in our time. And therefore, it's appropriate to put it together with the only single bakasha bracha in Birkas HaMazon, which is Bonei Yerushalayim. Amalei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says kitfilo. That adarava. We're going to do with Al Anisim in Birkas HaMazon what we do with Al Anisim in tefillah. We do not integrate Al Anisim in tefillah into the bracha of Avoda when we ask Hashem for Binyan Yerushalayim, but rather we integrate it into the bracha of Modim. Is Matfila Boda Af Birkas HaMazon Boda. So we have two brachos, one for Tfila and one for Birkas HaMazon, which are parallel to each other. They both are essentially Birkas Hoda. In the case of Tfila, it's going to be modim. In the case of Birkas HaMazon, it's going to be nodalecha, the second of the three, or if you want to call it four brachos. So Rav Sheshes points out that let's follow the lead of Tefillah and determine where Al-Anisim is appropriately added in Birkas HaMazon based on the paradigm of Tefillah. And Al-Anisim is essentially Hodah, and therefore it belongs to Birkas Hodah. We did that in Tefillah, and we integrated Al-Anisim into Modim, and that's where we are going to integrate it in the Birkas HaMazon to Nodilecha. And by the way, if you turn back without losing the place to Daf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, but don't lose the place, about 10 lines up from the bottom is the famous Brisa of Mai Chanukah. And it says there, Lishona Cheres Kavua, it's about 7 lines, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, Kavua Vasum Yomim Tov Bahalva Hodah. So Rashi says, what's Hodah? Hodah, Rashi says, Al-Anisim. So you see that Al-Anisim and Hodah are on almost like synonymous terms, because that's where we're going to integrate Al-Anisim. Ibailu, the Gemara is a suffix. Ma'ula haskir Rosh Chodesh b'Birkas HaMazon. We know that we add Yalav Yovo to Tefillah. Should we add it to Birkas HaMazon? Now, we've just vacillated back and forth about Al-Anisim in Birkas HaMazon on Chanukah. And we came to the conclusion that you don't need to add it. If you take it upon yourself on a voluntary basis, that you're allowed to do, but the obligation is not there. And the reason for that, as the Gemara supplied, was because Chanukah is only Derabbanan. Now the question is, how do we define Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara says the following. Even if you accept the final conclusion of the previous Gemara, that Chanukah is only Derabbanan, and therefore we don't add, or we're not at least required to add Al-Anisim into Birkas HaMazon, but Rosh Chodesh is Doraisa Tzorich. Now, this is really interesting. When the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh is Doraisa, now it's true that the entity of Rosh Chodesh, the enterprise, is Doraisa, but I'm not sure that Yalav Yovo itself is Doraisa. When you say that Rosh Chodesh is Doraisa, that's really in the Beis HaMikdash. They brought special korbanos on Rosh Chodesh in Parshas Pinchas, but I don't know if Yalav Yovo, with all due respect, is Doraisa. But maybe what the Gemara means is that since the Yom itself is endowed with a special status on a Doraisa level, because any day that has its own Korban Musaf is endowed with, shall we call it, a special Kedusha, a special sanctity, then therefore the Rabbanan looked for various ways and expressions of that special sanctity, one of which is the recitation of Yalav Yovo. And once you recite Yalav Yovo, it is part of the Kedusha Sayom, which is a halachic enterprise on a Doraisa level. And that's not the same for Chanukah. No matter what you say about Chanukah, it's the Rabbanan from soup to nuts. You know, there's no way you could say that Al-Anisim is a kiyum on a Doraisa level. It's not part of a day that's endowed with Kedusha Sayom. Oh, Dilma, now the Gemara wants to say that the Kedusha Sayom Rosh Chodesh, although it is Doraisa, that's only in the Beis HaMikdash, where you bring a korban. But Kevin de Lo'asur Basias Malacha, once you step out of the Beis HaMikdash, the four walls of the Beis HaMikdash, you're in what we call Gvulin, then there's no Iser Malacha, which means that the day is not endowed with a sanctity. And basically, Rosh Chodesh is a day of Chol, and therefore it's really on the same status as Chanukah is concerned. I mean, even though the entity of Rosh Chodesh might be Doraisa, but that's only as far as the Beis HaMikdash. Once you leave the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, you're talking about a day that's Chol, like Chanukah, and therefore Lo Maskirina, we don't mention Yalav Yovo and Birkas HaMazon. Once again, we have to ask the question, so why do we mention Yalla V'Yavo in Tefillah and not in Birkas HaMazon? And I'm looking at Tosus. I thought he addressed this question, but I don't see it right now. You see, in the case of Hanukkah, we said that that Al-Anisim is added to Tefillah because of the element of Tefillah Berabim, B'tzibur, that there's an element of Pirsim HaNes. In the case of Rosh Chodesh, why would we... Say it again?
It's not for Da'at.
No, Yalla V'Yavo is a bakosha. It's not a hodah, but I'm just wondering, why do you...
Al-Anisim
is hodah, and we said that there's no requirement of hodah in Birkas HaMazon on Chanukah. No requirement. Whereas in Tefillah, Tosa says, there, the requirement is to find another opportunity for Pirsum HaNes in the framework of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Now, when I get to Rosh Chodesh, there's no element of Pirsum HaNes.
Right.
Why would I differentiate between Tefillah and Birkas HaMazon? Why would I insist that Yalla V'Yavo is a requirement in Tefillah? It's even a critical requirement in Tefillah, because basically the law is, if you omit Yalla V'Yavo in Tefillah on Rosh Chodesh, you have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei, with the exception of Ma'ariv. That's a different. And yet in Birkas HaMazon, the Gemara thinks, let's just drop the ball. We don't need Yalla V'Yavo in Birkas HaMazon. So why do we need it in Tefillah? So I have a feeling that, again, I don't know how to square this off with Tosis, but we're going to have to say that this emphasis on Kedusha Sayom, and the Gemara says, well, in Rosh Chodesh there is no Kedusha Sayom, there's no Isur Malacha, that's only with regard to Birkas HaMazon. And what do we mean by Kedusha Sayom? A day that's endowed with Kedusha Sayom generates a Chiv Seuda. And again, if you want a barometer for whether this day is endowed with Kedusha Sayom, you're going to use the Isur Malacha. Where there's Isur Malacha, there's Kedusha Yom. There's no Isur Malacha, there's no Kedusha Yom. It's a Yom Chol. Right. But the Nafkamina is going to be whether or not there's a Chi of Seuda. So any day that's endowed with Kedusha Yom, Shabbos, Yontif, even Chol HaMoed is endowed with Kedusha Yom, those days which have an element of Isur Malacha will now have a Chi of Seuda. I'm not sure exactly how many sudas you have to eat on Chol HaMoed. Maybe one is enough, but one suda for sure you have to eat. So since it's an element of Chiv Suda, therefore you must add Yalla V'Yavo in benching. And that's good for Shabbos and Yontif. But when we get to Rosh Chodesh, where the day is completely devoid of Isur Malacha, so it has no Kiddush Sayom, there's no Chiv Suda, therefore the Gemara thinks that maybe there's no Yalla V'Yavo in benching. And the Gemara is going to quote Chanukah as a support text, because in Chanukah, since there's no Kiddush Sayom, therefore we don't have any obligation whatsoever to mention Yalla V'Yavo in benching. And yet, the Gemara quotes Machlokas, Rav Omer Maskir, Rabbi Chanina, Omar Eino Maskir. So we understand, we're very comfortable with Rabbi Chanina, insofar as there's no Chiyuv Suda on Rosh Chodesh, and therefore there's no Yalla V'Yavo in benching. But what do we do with Rav? Rav seems to assume that despite the fact that there's no Chiyuv Suda on Rosh Chodesh, nevertheless we do mention Yalla V'Yavo in benching on Rosh Chodesh. And not only that, the Gemara is actually going to accept Rav's sheet, if I'm not mistaken. Let's take a look. Omer Rav Zrika, Nekot Rav Biyodcha. You should accept the halacha like Rav, and therefore you will add Yalla V'Yavo in benching on Rosh Chodesh. Dekoi Rabbi Oshia Kavasei. Interesting. Rav Oshia is one generation before Rav, so that if we find that Rav Oshia requires Yalla V'Yavo in benching on Rosh Chodesh, then ipso facto Rav is correct. Rav Oshia is a final decisor in a machlokas between the next generation, which is Rabbi Chanina and Rav. Ditani Rav Oshio, we have a Brice of Rav Oshio. Now again, I don't think Rav Oshio is a Tana. I don't believe for one moment that he is a Tana. Maybe he is a Tana. I don't know. What does it mean, Tani Rav Oshio? Does that...
It says here he taught. He taught the Brisa.
Ah, so it sounds like he's an Amora. I don't know. I'm very confused about this point. Maybe we'll get back to it later. I don't know. But I'd like to research the status of Rav Oshio, because if he is a final decisor in a machlokas shin Rav Chanina and Rav, I would think that he is a Tana. But it could be that although he's not a Tana, he is an Amora, and in that sense he's a contemporary of Rav, but nevertheless he had one powerful authority. Rav Oshio was in charge of the Brisos. There were two individuals who were in charge of Brisos. There was Rav Chia and Rav Oshio. And both of them are in that period of time between the Tanoim and the Amoraim. But both of them could quote the Tanoim as authoritative by bringing a Brisa to our attention. So what does it say in the Brisa? Yomim sheyesh bem karban musaf. Any day that has its own special karban, kigon rosh chodesh v'cholo shel moed, is Arvis v'shachris u'mincha mispal shmona esrei v'yomer me'ein ha'ma'ora be'avoda. Here we're moving on in the sugya to establish what we call Kiddushas Hayom in Migdash. Once is Kiddushas Hayom in Migdash, the barometer of which is going to be the Karban Musaf, then that special Kiddusha Sayom in Migdash generates Yalav Yavo as what we call an Azkara that has to be injected into the Shmon Esrei, into the fabric of Shmon Esrei. And that's called an Azkara. Azkara means an addition to Shmon Esrei. The Omer Me'ein Ma'ora Be'Avoda. And again, the reason why it's appropriate for Avoda, as we mentioned earlier, is because it's a Bakasha. It's not a Hodah, but it's a Bakasha. And the Bracha of Avoda, which ends with Bonei Verachma of Yushalayim Amen, is also a Bakasha. However, V'imlo Omar, what if he omits Yal V'yavo in Shmon Esrei, in Avoda in this case, in Ritzei, is then Machzirin also. It's actually a critical addition to Shmon Esrei. There's a whole discussion here, because if you look at the list, he mentions Arvis. That's the first one on the list. We paskin that if you omit Yal V'yavo in Arvis, you do not repeat Shmon Esrei. So that's going to be a discussion unto itself. Now the Brisa continues and says the following. Now we have another group of days. The Ein Bem Kiddusha Ala Kos. Even those days that have no mitzvah of Kiddush, which means they are not endowed with Kiddush Sayom outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kiddush Sayom is confined to the Beis HaMikdash, but nevertheless, Yesh Bem Azkara Bebirkas Hamazon. And this clearly refers to Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh can be described as a day in which there is no Kiddush Halakos. So it doesn't have Kiddush Sayom, and yet, despite that, the Brisa says that you have to mention Rosh Chodesh, meaning Yal V'yavo, in the framework, in the structure of Birkas HaMazon. You have to add it as a separate Azkara. And that supports the opinion of Rav that we saw earlier. Then the Brisa says, Yomim She'ein Bem Karban Musaf. Now we get into Hilchos Mamados and Tainios. These are fast days that were declared because of the lack of rain. Kigon Sheni V'chamishi V'sheni. These are 3 days consecutive of fast days. The Tainios and Mamados, And on these days, there's no Karva Musaf. Now, what exactly is going on over here? On these days, what would be Me'ena Ma'oru? We're talking about Anenu. That's probably it. So the question is, Anenu. Again, there's no issue here about Birkas HaMazon, L'chora. So I'm not sure exactly in the case of Mambodos and Tainios whether or not we're going to add that piece about Yeshbam Hazkar V'Birkas HaMazon. I see. There are certain people who fasted and certain people who didn't fast. Okay, so let's go through this. So the Gemara immediately interjects and asks the following question. Sheni v'chamishi maya v'detayu. Right, what are we talking about here? In other words, what musaf or kiddush or so, what shaykhas to sheni v'chamishi? Elo sheni v'chamishi v'sheni shel tainios u'mamodos. So we said that these are special fast days that were declared after a whole series. I mean, for that you have to really learn Masechta Tainis. But at a certain point, after fasting and there's still no rains, so they declare a triple series of 3 days of fasting on Sheni, Chamishi, and Sheni. And these are called Days of Tainios. Now, there's also an institution called Ma'amodos, and that's based on a parsha at the end of Pinchas, and that is that whenever you have a Korban Tzibur, you need the Tzibur to be Omed al Korban. They have to be there to bring the Korban, but we can't expect the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael to gather and converge the entire congregation of Israel onto the Beis HaMikdash for the bringing of a Korban Musaf. So what we do is we have what we call representatives. We have a mishmar of Kohanim. I guess you call it a shift of Kohanim, like you have in medical, in especially in emergency medicine, where my son works. He gets a shift, right? So it's his shift. So what they did was they divided up the Kohanim into shifts, into groups, and each group would get 2 weeks in the Beis HaMikdash. First, they would go through 24 groups and 24 weeks, and then they have another round of 24 groups, 24 weeks. And the Mishmar of Kohanim, whoever was got that week, they would be in charge of the Ma'amados, and they would bring the Karba Musaf on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. What about the people who did not, who are not part of that Mishmar? So they didn't go to the Beis HaMikdash, but nevertheless, during these Ma'amados, they would fast. So Arvis v'shachas u'mincha mispalel shmona esri yom u'meina ma'or b'shomei tefillah. Interesting. We're no longer talking about the avodah. We're now talking about shomei tefillah. Why? Because this particular addition, this azkara, in the case of Tainios and Ma'amados, is purely 100%. Unadulterated prayer and supplication. It has no element of the Beis HaMikdash in it, and it's called Anenu Biyom Taniseinu. And the place, the appropriate place in the Shmon Esrei for such a pure bakasha is in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. V'yim lo omar ein machzirin oso. And I don't know, the next part of Ein Bam Kedush Al Kos, I don't know, I have it in parentheses. I don't know if you have it in parentheses.
Yeah.
And then it says, Ein Bam Azkara Bebirkas HaMazon. So I guess this is not the day of the Tainis. Maybe it's the night before the Tainis. I mean, you really have to know more about Tainios, which Tainios begin at night, which Tainios only begin by day. But in any event, getting back to our original discussion, you see clearly from this brisa that there is Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh even in Birkas Hamazon, because it says Ein Bahem Kiddush Al HaKos, despite the fact that there's no Kiddush over a cup of wine, which is a very accurate description of Rosh Chodesh. Nevertheless, Yesh Bahem Azkar BeBirkas Hamazon, and that would support the view of Rav against Rav Chanina. Now again, I'd love to understand the logic here of Rav, and for that matter of this Brice of Rav Oshia, if there's no Kiddusha Sayom, why would there be a recitation, an addition of Me'ein HaMa'ora in Birkas HaMazon? And if you'd ask me, I would tell you, maybe I'm wrong about this, but it's not halacha in Rosh Chodesh per se. It's really a halacha in Bonei Yerushalayim. What do I mean? That the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim in Birkas HaMazon is enhanced by Rosh Chodesh. So when we say Yalev Yove Agiv Eiratzim Yisham Yipakim Yizachar Yizah, etc., etc., what we're saying is that we need Yerushalayim in order to experience to its fullness the avoda of Rosh Chodesh can only be fulfilled through Yerushalayim, through the Beis Hamikdash. So in Birkas HaMazon, when we ask Hashem for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, we have a special chiyuv to add Rosh Chodesh, because this is a day that's endowed with a Korban Musaf, and we need the Yerushalayim, we need the binyan of Yerushalayim in order to fulfill that avodah of the Korbanos of Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. In the case of Al Anisim on Chanukah, there we're dealing with something else entirely different. We're not expanding our supplication for Yerushalayim, for the building of Yerushalayim, but rather we're expanding our thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we thank Hashem for giving us the land, for giving us Torah, for giving us Eretz Yisrael and Torah and the Bris, and we're also thanking Hashem for His intervening in Jewish history to save the Jewish people. So that Birkas HaMazon now becomes a facility to thank Hashem for particular natures of the days, you know, in relative terms. Why? We thought that Birkas HaMazon is more appropriate for Achiv Suda, to add any sort of Azkara, but we see that there's no Chiyuv Suda on Rosh Chodesh, no Chiyuv Suda on Chanukah, yet we're adding Yalav Yovo and Al Anisim. So I would say that that's a reflection of Birkas HaMazon, that my Chiyuv Hodah in Birkas HaMazon, or my Chiyuv Tefillah and Bakash in Birkas HaMazon, now expands because of the nature of the day. Since this is the day that commemorates the Hodah for the Nisim and Niflaos, we have to now expand our Vinodah Lecha and add another element into the equation. In the case of Rosh Chodesh, our bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, which is essentially a prayer for Yerushalayim and for the Beis HaMikdash and the Avodah, now expands. You know, because of the nature of this day, we now have an expanded tefillah and Chovas tefillah for the building of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, so that we can fulfill our special Karban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. That's what I think is going on here. Alright, let's see if we could add another little piece here. Ibailahu Ma'la Haskir Shel Chanukah B'Musafim. Ah, this is fascinating. Should we mention Yalav Yovo on Shabbos of Chanukah? And on some years, you have a double Shabbos of Chanukah in the Musaf service. After all, the Musaf service is purely Avodah. And there's no Avodah on Chanukah. It would seem that Al Anisim and Chanukah is totally foreign. It's a total alien element to Karban Musaf, to Tfilas Musaf, which is a replacement for Karban Musaf. But perhaps we could say, as we said earlier, that whenever we recite modim, which is a birchas hodah. Now it's interesting because hodah is an essential part of the last three brachos, which are critical to any Shmoneh Esrei, even to Musaf. So whereas Musaf only has the first three brachos and the last three brachos, but Hodah is there. And once Hodah is part of the fabric of Shmoneh Esrei, then on this day in which we have an expanded Chiyuv Hodah to thank Hashem for the great miracles of Chanukah, we now have to add Al Anisim to Modim. So the Gemara says, came under less be musaf bidi day lo bidi day. In other words, on this day itself, a Chanukah doesn't generate any carbon musaf. Is lo mad karina? We don't mention, al nisim in musaf because, as we said, musaf is all about the carbon musaf, and there's no carbon musaf on Chanukah. So what's the Gemara's tzad to say? Bechol zot, nevertheless, we should add Al Anisim to Musaf. O Dilma, Yom Hu Shechayev Bi Arba Tfilos. That even on Musaf is a day that requires Arba Tfilos. Let's see, does Rashi tell us what Arba Tfilos means? 1 second. Shechayev Bi Arba Tfilos. Oh, I know what it means.
Yes.
In addition to Arvis, Shachris, and Mincha, we have a fourth tefillah of Musaf. It's a little bit confusing. I'll tell you what the Gemara really means to say is that the Mechayev of Al Anisim is tefillah. That's all, period. Don't talk to me about whether this tefillah is a replacement for a carbon musaf and therefore has no relevance to Chanukah. Just ask one question: is it a tefillah or is it not a tefillah? And the halacha is that a tefillah requires a reflection in the nusach tefillah of the special nature of the day. And in Birchas Hodah, when we have Hodah for the special miracles of this day, then we have to add al-nisim and tefillah. It's a tefillah halacha. It's not a musaf halacha.
Right.
And the Gemara says, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, the Amri Chavayu, Eino Mazkir. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, the Amri Chavayu, Mazkir. So we have two shitos here, whether we recite al-nisim in musaf.
Mm-hmm.
Omar Abai, Rav Yosef. Abai turns to Rav Yosef, who would... Was it Rav Yosef? No, we didn't have Rav Yosef until now. So I guess this is just the Gemara is reporting a dialogue between Abai and Rav Yosef. Is Hod Rav Huna Rav Yehuda of Rav Yehuda de Ravu? In other words, what we're seeing here is a later generation of Amoraim, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. And really, they are reflecting the sheet of Rav. The Omer Rav Gidol Omer Rav, Rosh Chodesh Chalios B'Shabbos. Now watch what happens here. We're talking about Haftorah. There's no Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. There's Haftorah for Shabbos. Now what happens? It was an overlap of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So you and I would say that in the brachos of Maftir, you should omit mention of Rosh Chodesh. And if you apply that same logic here, you derive the conclusion of Huna Rabbi Yehuda that there's no reason for adding Al Anisim in Musaf. Because what shaychus is there between Chanukah and Musaf? There's no connection between Chanukah and Musaf. It's what we call an accidental overlap. Here too, this is an accidental overlap. Rosh Chodesh happens to coincide with Shabbos. What does that have to do with Maftir? Would there be a Mechayev of Maftir because of Rosh Chodesh? The Mechayev of Maftir is clearly Shabbos is therefore amafte b'novi b'Shabbos ainu tzorch lahazkir shorosh chodesh. Shel moly Shabbos ain novi brosh chodesh. Had it not been Shabbos, we would certainly not recite a maftir on Rosh Chodesh. We're only reciting a maftir Rosh Chodesh because of Shabbos, the Machayev is Shabbos. Here too, in the case of Korban Musaf, of Tfilas Musaf, the Machayev is Musaf. There's no Machayev of Chanukah. Or, for that matter, there's no... Just 1 second. Yeah, there's no Machayev of Chanukah. Chanukah does not generate any Korban Musaf, any Tfilas Musaf. So let's see, the Gemara is going to reject this analogy. Let's just see if we can anticipate what the Gemara is going to say. In the case of Maftir, Rav says, you know, mention Rosh Chodesh. But in the case of Chanukah, in the Musaf service, we're going to mention, as we said before, because Musaf is a fourth tefillah, so on this day of Shabbos, we have to recite 4 tefillos. Each tefillah requires its expanded hodayah for Chanukah. That has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh does not in any way expand the institution of Maftir on Shabbos.
Right.
Let's see if we're on the right track. Me dummy, hasam navi b'Rosh Chodesh like a klal. So far, so good, right? There's no connection here between Rosh Chodesh and Maftir ben Navi. It's purely coincidental. And the Machayev is Shabbos. Hacha, Isay, maybe we can fit it in. Isay bi'arvis v'shachas u'mincha. In other words, Tefillah itself requires mention of Chanukah. Why? What's the Shaychas? The answer is because in Tefillah, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the daily miracles that He bestows upon us. Let's add an expanded Hodoya to thank Hashem for the miracles of Chanukah. So that it could be that Rav, who omits any mention of Rosh Chodesh in Maftir of Shabbos, of Rosh Chodesh, would nevertheless advocate in favor of adding Al Anisim in the case of Tfilas Musaf. If you want to compare it to something, compare it to the Omar Rav Achtevoy, Omar Rav Masna, Omar Rav Yontif Shechalios B'Shabbos is a Maftir bin Novi bin Mincha B'Shabbos Einu Tzorch Lahazkir Shal Yontif Shal Mole Shabbos Ein Novi bin Mincha B'Yontif. So back in the day they had a minog to recite a maftir, not only during the morning, I'm talking about Shabbos, excuse me, not only was there a maftir that was integrated into Shacharis, but they had an additional maftir, we don't have this minig anymore, that was integrated into Mincha. Now what happens if there's an overlap between Yontif and Shabbos? So certainly in Shacharis, when you recite the maftir, you're going to mention not just Mekadosh Yisrael, Mekadosh HaShabbos, you're going to mention Mekadosh Yisrael v'HaShabbos. Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim v'HaShabbos. Because Yontif, even if it hadn't been Shabbos, would generate a chiyuv of Maftir. But when we get to Mincha on Shabbos, now Yontif is just a coincidental overlap, and therefore we are not going to mention... We're not going to mention Yontif, and the Gemara thinks that therefore we're not going to mention Al Anisim in the Musaf service. And the final conclusion here is on Daf Chav Dalet Amid Beis, V'les Hilchasa Kechol Ani Shmaitato. We reject all these halachas that we learned before, and we're going to mention Al Anisim in Musaf as well. El Kihadi Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi Yom HaKippurim Shechal Lios B'Shabbos HaMispal Ne'ilah Tzorch La'azkir Shel Shabbos. Now the Mechayev of Ne'ilah is Yom Kippur. The fact that it happens to be Shabbos is totally coincidental. And yet Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi says that we will mention Shabbos. So we're going to say Mekadesh HaShabbos, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim V'HaShabbos. And why is that? Because Yom Hushen Ischayev V'Arba Tefilos. That we always mention Shabbos in Tefillah, Normally, we only have X number of tefillos, but here we have X plus Y, because we're going to add tefillos for Yom Kippur. But once we add those tefillos, then we're going to mention Shabbos. So the final maskoni here, v'les hilchus kol ani shmaitita, is that since the day of Shabbos, Chanukah, or Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, requires a fourth Shmona Esrei, then that Shmona Esrei is going to take on the same formula as the other three Shmona Esreis, and we're going to add both Al Anisim in the case of Chanukah on Shabbos in Musaf and Yalav Yov in the case of Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. But the Gemara raises a difficulty here, because Kasha Hilchasa Achilchasa Amid Hilchasa Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We accepted the Halach of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and therefore in the Ilo we're going to mention Shabbos. The Kaimalon Hilchasa Kerova, and we paskin like Rav the Yomer Rav Yom Tov Shechalios B'Shabbos. When there's an overlap of Yom Tov and Shabbos, is Shliach Tzibur Ayored Lifnei Teva Arvis. Eino tzarch lahazkir shel yontif. So it's now Shabbos and yontif, and the shliach tzibur is yored lifnei teva on Friday night, and he's going to recite what we call the main sheva, the very short abridged chazor sashatz. And Rava says eino tzarch lahazkir shel yontif. Why? Because there's no Mechayev of Yontif in terms of that special Chazor Sashatz. She'el Mole Shabbos, Ein Shliach Tzibur Yorid Arvis Lifnei Yontif. So you see that if it's a coincidental overlap, then you don't mention the Yontif. And that's against Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who mentions Shabbos in the case of Ne'ila. Hachi Hash, the Gemara says, it's not a fair analogy. Why Hasam Bidinu Tafilu B'Shabbos Nami Lo Tzarech? In the case of Rava, it makes sense that even on Shabbos, really, there's no need for the repetition of Shmon Esrei. Rabbanan Hu D'Tiknu Le Mishum Sakana. Right, Rabbanu wanted to delay people from going out of shul alone, so they added a Chazor Sashatz. And they're not going to add another requirement up on Tabut to mention Yom Tov Avol Hocha, but here in the Yom Kippur case of Ne'ila, Yom Hu Sheneschayev B'Arba Tefilos, this is a day in which Ne'ila is an additional Shmon Esrei that makes up the fabric of Tefila for the day of Yom Kippur, and therefore we're going to mention Shabbos as well. So here's where we're going to end on Daf Chav Dalet Amid Beis Velo Bi'Alya. And actually, you know what? Let me correct myself. We'll just learn another few lines in the Gemara. So we'll get up to the Mishnah. Velo Bi'Alya. So the tail of a sheep, which has a certain kind of an oil that you can extract from it, is excluded from Ner Shabbos. However, according to Nachum Amadi, if we boil this oil, then we can use it for Ner Shabbos. And the Chacham disagree, and they say even in Alya, if you cook it mevashel it, it's still possible. And When the Mishnah opens up with Veloba Alya without any qualification, we can call that the Sheet of Tanakama. That seems to be identical with the Sheet of the Chachamim, that Alya is disqualified no matter whether it's natural or it's boiled. So the Gemara asks Chachamim, Hainu Tanakama, and the Gemara answers, Ika Beinayu Dirabruna Amarav. The Nafkamin is going to be whether you can add a little kosher oil and mix in with this Alya oil in a case of Mavushal Velo Masaimi. But we don't have a definite clear indication which opinion holds what, whether it's the Tanakama or the Chachamim would accept the Kula of Rabbi Bruna that we can add some kosher oil. And this leads up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Dalet Amid Beis.